Judges chapter 16, of course, we're talking about Samson. And at the beginning of the chapter, he went to Gaza. They tried to trap him there. And, you know, he, in the middle of the night, picked up the city gates and carried them away. Depending on which commentary you look at, they will tell you it was anywhere from 10 miles to 35 or 40 miles. I think if he went all the way from Gaza to Hebron, it was probably closer to that 35 or 40 miles. But, I mean, if he carried it part of that distance and left the gates on a hill that could be seen several miles away from Hebron, it could have been less than that number. But, you know, very, very impressive thing that the Lord allowed him to do. However, where was he when he got trapped? Well, number one, he was in Gaza with the Philistines. Number two, whose house was he at? He was at the house of a harlot. Well, then in verse number 4 of chapter 16, which is where we're going to pick up today with Delilah, it says, afterward, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So again, we're talking about the territory of the Philistines. Why Samson was constantly, you know, drawn to the area of the Philistines, the Philistine women, and all of that. There's no great explanation for that. But it says he loved a woman whose name was Delilah. Verse 5, the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. So they obviously believed that she, as a Philistine, was more loyal to the Philistines than to her Jewish beau. And they also believed that she was more loyal to money than to her Jewish beau. Both of those things turned out to be true. Okay? But the amount that they offered her, 1,100 pieces of silver, and it says every one of us will give you that. I think that means you can multiply it times 5. Okay, so when you look at the royal cities of the Philistines as they're listed in the Old Testament, there's typically 5 major cities: Ekron, Gath, Gaza, and I knew if I got started, I'd miss a couple. You know, but there's 5 major cities. And I think when it talks about the princes, you're probably talking about those 5. Well, assuming for sake of discussion that the piece of silver here was just a day's wage and not anymore, just like the coin in the New Testament was a day's wage, 5,500 pieces of silver comes out to 15 years' wages or more. Okay? So, if somebody came to you and offered you 15 or 20 years' salary in one lump sum for you to do something for them, I mean, that's something that's hard to at least not listen to their offer, right? Okay? So, they really wanted Samson, and they really wanted Delilah to side with them, and they were willing to pay. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, has Samson already cost them that much money? You remember what he did after his bride got given away to somebody else? What did he do? He went and caught 300 foxes and he set them loose in their fields, right? Grapes, corn, wheat, all of that, you know, was destroyed. And he's, at different times, he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. I mean, he has caused them great problems. And so, you know, it was worth it to them to pay a very high price. Put that amount on a wanted poster, if we put it in Old West terms. We want Samson. Verse 11, Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Now, I realize we're getting the short version of the conversation here. Okay, we're probably not getting everything that was said because these conversations took place over days and weeks, more than likely. Okay, if she had just said the first half of that, you know, you could kind of hear it. You know, Delilah seems to be a woman that has those charms that she's not afraid to use, right? I mean, she is willing to just lay it on and and use those womanly charms. And, you know, she's like, if she just said, tell me how you're so strong. If the first part of it, if that's all she had said, it would make more sense to me. Okay. How are you so strong? I can't believe you're strong. I love you. Show me your muscles. You know, however that conversation goes. The second part of that statement has my attention. Tell me where in thy great strength lieth. That part, I get it. I don't think it would raise any suspicions. And then the second part, wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Samson, you're so strong. I don't know where that comes from. How could I tie you up so I could beat you? Is there a reason you're asking this question? Right? If I knew the answer to that question, why would I tell you that? Oh, I would never do that to you. I wonder about these things. Nobody's ever been able to subdue you. You've always gotten the best of all of your enemies, and that's why I love you so much. You know, you can just fill in the blanks. You can kind of fill in the conversation there, right? Now, this should have gone ding. I mean, his radar should be going up. It's not. Why? He's more interested in his sensual pleasures than he is in doing right. I mean, he never should have been there to start with. We understand that. And now he's more, infatuated with Delilah and thinking along those lines than he's thinking straight about this. Tell me how I can bind you to afflict you. Verse 7, Samson said, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. This term withes here is translated other places as cord or string. Some of the commentaries and even some of the lexicons connect this word to animal tendons that would be used as cords. I mean, some of you may have seen it in an old Western somewhere or read about it, in a Louis L'Amour book or something, who knows. But, you take even animal skins, right? You wet it and then tie something down with it, and as it dries, it shrinks. Sometimes that would be done for different purposes. But, some of the commentators say that this was like ligaments or tendons from an animal that had not been stretched. They hadn't been worked, so they had maximum elasticity and strength, and they were fresh. They weren't dried out yet. Now, that just sounds lovely, doesn't it? Hang on while I cut the hamstring out of this deer and see if I can tie your hands together with it. I mean, I don't know where it came from. But whether it's that or whether it's vines, it's translated as cords several times. So anyway, 7 green withes wherewith that were never dried, then shall I be weak. Verse 8, the lords of the Philistines brought up her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Okay, now, this didn't all happen in one day. She has this conversation, she butters him up, she gets him to talk. He tells her something, but not the truth, or at least not the whole truth. He tells her something. Well, then she has to go get word to the Philistines. They have to bring her supplies, and then they bring reinforcements for an ambush. So, I think the next scene takes place at a future time, not all in the same day, right? I mean, if he's there at her house, how's she going to sneak out and get a message to the Philistines? It's not like she's got a burner phone in her pocket that she's texting him, hey, here's what I need, these things probably took some time. Now, verse 9 says, there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. So she brought Philistine, whatever you want to call them, soldiers, thugs, mercenaries, whatever you want to call them. These are the muscle, all right? And they're in her house, in a back room apparently, hiding. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. I hope you read things like that with a little voice inflection, right? The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. What are you yelling about, woman? I was good and asleep. The Philistines are here. All right, the end of verse 9. He break the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. Tow there is not an appendage on your foot. It's not even spelled the same way. It doesn't mean to drag along behind. Tow here talks about fibers. Very often it was when they would thresh out the wheat, you have the kernels and then you have the stalks. Very often those stalks, they would take those and weave them, use them for different things. But it says as a thread of that when it touches the fire. In other words, it touches the fire, there's no resiliency there. He just popped them off. Now, what should Samson have been thinking at this point? How did I end up tied up? How did other Philistine men end up at my girlfriend's house? I told her this in confidence, and she tied me up and betrayed me to the Philistines. I'm out of here. I mean, that's what logic would say, right? Is Samson operating off of logic here or emotion? Emotion and temptation, okay? He is not in any sense thinking rationally here. So he should have been like, what are you doing? Why were they here? How did I end up tied up? I didn't tell anybody this but you. If somebody found out about it, they had to find out about it from you. Now, Delilah, in her aggressive and womanly charms way, blames it on Samson. You mocked me. You told me lies. It's your fault, Samson. Okay, I don't want to have a line outside pastor's office for marriage counseling, so we won't make it too many editorial comments here. About how those things go. But, I mean, she immediately flipped the script on him, right? You lied to me. You didn't tell me the truth. Why would I tell you how I could be bound? That was a dumb question. I mean, that's probably how I would say it. But now all of a sudden she flips it on him, starts blaming him, and starts leaning on him all over again. You told me lies. Now tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. Whoa, calm down. Why are you so interested in tying me up? I mean, she alternated the guilt tripping with, sweet attention. Manipulated him like a puppet, okay? She, she had him, like Play-Doh in her hand, and she's just working him. Samson, like a dummy, verse 11 tells her something else. Why? He's not operating on logic. He's not operating on truth. He's operating on emotion. So, you have strike one. If you tie me up with new cords, that wasn't it. Now, strike two, new ropes. Verse 11, he said unto her, if they bind me with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Now, maybe Samson just has a little bit of arrogance to him. Maybe he's like, even if she does tie me up, it's not going to work. And maybe he wants to show off a little bit. Maybe he's kind of in that mindset. I mean, why he told her something else, I do not know. If they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Okay. Now, why did Delilah try this? I mean, how did she know this was going to work? She didn't. I mean, she just had to take his word for it. I mean, if I'm the one that's setting the trap, I'm like, okay, I already messed up. They probably already think, I'm moving into boy that cried wolf territory, telling me a false story. I better make sure it's right this time. Why would Delilah do something like that? 15-year salary? Yeah. I mean, she wanted the money. So she talks to the Philistines, get me some brand new ropes. Verse 12, Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith. She did it according to this. Whether she did it herself or whether she did it by, you know, allowing people into her house, whatever, she ties him up with new ropes. Verse 12, she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Where have I heard that before? Right? I've heard this story before. And there were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he broke them from off his arms like a thread. Now, the part of the story that I really want to know is what happened to the other liars in wait. Right? I mean, did their presence get hidden? What do you mean the Philistines are pointing? Oh, there's nobody here. I just wanted to see if you were telling me the truth. Or were they there ready to arrest him? I mean, did he find these other men hanging out at his girlfriend's house and beat them up? Kill them? I mean, he's done that kind of thing before, right? I don't know. I guess I don't need to know because God didn't tell me the rest of the story, right? Verse 13, Delilah said to Samson, hitherto hast thou mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. It's your fault, Samson. You told me the wrong thing. It's your fault. I told you a secret and you tied me up and we're going to hand me over to the Philistines. I'm out of here. I mean, that's what should have happened, right? It didn't happen because he's dealing with emotions and temptation. He's not dealing with truth, logic, you know, or solid reasoning. Why doesn't he want to deal with this problem? Why doesn't Samson want to deal with this? If he tells her the whole truth, or if he deals with her betrayal, this little fling with Delilah's over, right? So apparently, he wanted Delilah enough that he was willing to take risks he never should have taken. He never should have started with it. But, you know, if you're going to mess around with sin, be sure your sin will what? Yeah, exactly. Find you out. You're 100% right. Okay? He never should have been there to start with. God has given him a couple of opportunities to get out of there, but he's just bound and determined he wants this. You ever been there? Probably not in Delilah's house, but something else. You know, the Lord begins to work on your heart about something and, you know, anything but that, I don't really want to deal with that. Probably. He did not want to have to deal with the fact that if he handled this situation properly, he, you know, this relationship's over. That was his downfall. It started in chapter 14 with, I found a woman in Timnath of the Philistines, get her to meet a wife. Well, then he's at a harlot's house in Gaza of the Philistines. Well, now he's at Delilah's house in Sorek of the Philistines. Okay, his downfall was that, you know, he never controlled his appetites. Samson was a man of self-will and sensuality. Samson was a man of pride and presumption. And all of those things, all right, that's, there we go. All of those things are going to get him into trouble. His pride, I can get myself out of any situation. His presumption, God's going to help me because I'm Samson. You know, his self-will, I'm going to do what I want to do, and his sensuality all of these times. That became his downfall. Verse 13, Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto hast thou mocked me and told me lies wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. We don't even get the rest of the story. We know at this point, oh, I'll be like any other man. So what's strike three? Weave my hair in the web. Okay, now, if you're like me, you're like, you know, how does this work? Okay, so I tried to go find a couple pictures. As I understand it, you know, the ancient weaving techniques, at the bottom of the photo there, you see it looks like if it's big enough for you to see, you can see it kind of looks like donuts or rings, and the bottom of that long string is tied to it. That is often what they would do. They would either have a beam across the bottom to tie off to, or they would have weights on the bottom of the strings. Those are weights to hold the vertical strings straight. Okay? One is the warp and one is the woof. You have the one goes this way, the other goes this way. And that's the weaving where it goes in and out like that. But you'd have these long strings. I mean, a lot of times when we see weaving setups now, it's more of a flat thing, right? Where it's stretched out horizontally and you work it through. But a lot of the ancient ones were more vertical like that. And you can see on this one where the three rods are in the middle. That would be kind of where they're at as far as, you know, you have some threads that are vertical and then some that they're going, you know, back and forth in between. Okay. Here's a more modern photo of one that is stretched out, you know, in a different fashion. Okay. But if you think about this, apparently Delilah had a weaver's beam or had a weaver's loom. Maybe that was her occupation, but she had one in her house. Maybe he looked at it and that's where he got the idea. Okay. But if it was like this and you already had the vertical threads, well, then she's going to have him lay down and bring it over there by his head and work the seven locks of his head. Is that seven ponytails? Is that seven braids? I don't know. I mean, it seems like if he's got that much hair, I mean, braiding it or doing something with it like that would help, right? But she's going to take his hair and weave it through that, and then she put the pin in it. You know, these are pins here on this one. There's different styles of pins to kind of hold it in place or whatever. But verse 14 says, she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, again, you know, same song, next verse, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. So basically, he walked out with this entire weaver's setup attached to his hair. All right? Now, three times. Tell me how you can be bound up. All right, try this. She tried it. Hey, the Philistines are here. Why'd you do that? Hey, tell me the truth this time. Why'd you do that? I'm tired of you lying to me. Tell me the truth. Why'd you do that? I mean, this is what should have been happening, right? He never should have been there. She's taking advantage of him, and he is willingly going along with it because he's blinded by the temptation. He's blinded by his emotions. He's blinded by his sin. You know, Proverbs talks about being a man that is holden with the cords of his sin. There are times when we willingly seek after and give in to certain things, that in essence it becomes, if you think of like, what is that called? A boa constrictor, you know, kind of wraps itself around you and then begins to squeeze. You know, you could take a spool of sewing thread. Talk about strike one, strike two. There's strike two on dropping the connection. It dropped again. But you could take a spool of sewing thread, and you know, if I could get it tied off tightly enough, and I, you know, I could get whoever and pick the strongest man in here. Could that be okay? Never mind. I'm not going to say it. All right, but I'd pick Brother Jeremy because he's a good sport. Okay, I could take that thread and I could wrap it around 5 or 10 times, and he'd go pop. Do you know if I got that sewing thread and wrapped it tight enough where there's no slack in it, if I got 200 or 300 rounds with his arms at his side, you know what? Eventually, I'm going to get enough strands of that thread. He's not popping it off anymore. I thought you were going to say it'd take at least 1,000, you know, so. All right, but the point is sin. You know, being holden with the cords of your sin. Sometimes we think, okay, I can get away with this. I can manage this. I can control this. This doesn't have control of me. But eventually, the longer we allow that to hang around, the longer we seek out something, now all of a sudden, I'm trapped where I didn't think I would end up trapped. Same thing that happened to Samson, right? He is holding with the cords of his sin, his sensuality and his self-will. Okay? He thinks he's gotten away with it in instances before. So now he's like, no big deal. I'll snap it again. Three times he got away with it. The fourth time, he didn't. Verse 15, you got to admire her persistence and her manipulation, right? Delilah says unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times. You've not told me wherein thy strength lieth. You read that with some voice inflection? You say you love me and you lie to me. You don't really love me. He didn't really love her. He loved himself. But, he didn't like being told that. Samson should have thrown it right back in her face. You say you love me, you keep tying me up, inviting the Philistines in. What's going on here? He was holding by the cords of his sin to the point that he's blinded to the reality of what's going on. And she is laying it on thick. You say you love me and you're lying to me. Verse 16. And it came to pass when she pressed him, what's the next word? Daily. Where have we heard that before? Remember at the 7 days of the wedding feast? Samson throws out the riddle, and the Philistines go to his brand new bride and says, if you don't find out the answer to this, we're going to burn your house down with you in it and your family. Day after day after day after day, his new bride just leans on him. What happens here? Daily she pressed him with her words. Samson knew better. He knew he was playing with fire. It didn't happen. How many days? I don't know. Okay, I don't think anybody can say definitively. But up until this point, doesn't Samson have a chance to say, I'm wrong, I'm out of here? Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. Day after day, he has a chance to say, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. He had a chance to say, I'm wrong. I'm going home. I'm going to offer a sacrifice to God and ask him to forgive me. I shouldn't be here. This is becoming more and more obvious. He had an opportunity to do that, right? He didn't, but that's the lesson for you and me. When she pressed on him daily and urged him, look at the end of verse 16, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Does that sound like, a godly relationship? No. It's all based on selfishness and sensuality and manipulation. And, every bit of this is all wrong. His soul was vexed unto death. Why did he stay? He's made up his mind. He wants his sin, and now God's going to let him pay for it. Okay, he had a chance to get out. But he wanted the sensual pleasures with Delilah so much that he put up with all of this other nonsense. His soul was vexed unto death. Verse 17, he told her all his heart, and he said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now, make sure that you understand here, the strength was not in his hair, okay? The strength was in his separation to God. Consecration is the Bible word for that. Okay? His strength did not lie in hair, Brother Stevens, that's probably a good thing at this point, right? You know, if you had to grow long hair to have strength, it'd be a rough few months, right? He did. He had a real hang up with his hair. But what he has said here is, my hair is this way because of my consecration to God. Okay? I was dedicated unto God. I'm separated unto God. I am serving God in a special way. I have been dedicated to God since my birth. If I shave my head, I break my vow to God and I lose God's blessing. I mean, that's the understanding of what's going on here. Shaving his head, you know, and for that matter, his hair growing back out, as it's stated later when he's grinding in the house of the Philistines, it wasn't the hair, okay? Rather, the hair represented on the outside what was supposed to be going on the inside, okay? Just like, you know, there's a lot of good things that we do that we should be doing because it represents our love for the Lord, right? But now she's to that point. Now it says here in verse number 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. The word told there means to reveal or to make known. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he showed me all his heart. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Now, how many times has Delilah been wrong? Three times. This is number four. She's like, just give me one more chance. This is the real deal. I mean, if I'm the Philistines, I'm like, why am I paying you? You can't get this thing right. But they wanted Samson bad enough to give it one more shot, right? They came up with money in their hand. How did she know? He's told me all his heart. The same way that you can read people, you know, that you're close to. There was something different about what he said. Why did Samson do that? He chose Delilah, or if I could say it this way, he chose his sin over his service to God. He chose his sin over separation to God. He chose his sin over the opportunity that God had given him. He wanted Delilah more than he wanted to be used of God. What happens? Verse 18, Delilah saw, she told him all his heart. She said, come up to verse 19. She made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. Don't you wish you could sleep that well? Somebody shaves your head completely bald and you slept through it? I mean, obviously it's not electric clippers like we would think of today. Whether it's, you know, scissors or razor. I mean, you could take the razor and, you know, cut it like this if it's that long before you actually, like, shaved his head. But let's just, for argument's sake, say it's a razor like we think of, and you're going to, like, put soap or shaving cream or something to lubricate it and shave his head. His hair's never been cut in his life. You don't think his scalp's tender enough he would feel that? He slept through it. God's letting him reap what he's sown. The end of verse number 19, she began to afflict him. Isn't that interesting? You don't really love me. I love you, but you don't love me. That's what she's been saying the whole time, right? Well, now her true colors come out. She begins to afflict him. The end of verse 19, and his strength went from him. Verse 20, she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself. Do you see the self-centeredness right there? Do you see the presumption? I'm doing this. I'm going to free myself. Where did the power come from? It came from God. It wasn't innate in him. It wasn't his workout routine. He is presuming on the power of God to bless his immorality again in his own mind. Notice the last phrase of verse number 20. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. One of the saddest statements in the story of Samson, right? When he chose Delilah, he chose his sin over his service. The Spirit of God departed from him. He didn't know. It didn't matter to him. May God help us to be more sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord than that. There's more to be said there, but it's time for us to wrap this up. So we'll leave off there and pick up there, Lord willing, the next time we meet together. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for these examples and warnings. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be keenly aware of our obedience to you. Help us to be sensitive to your working in our hearts. And Lord, help us not to be in a position where we choose something else over you and over obedience to you. Lord, I pray for our service to come now, that you'd meet with us in a special way. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.